Welcome to Jersey Guy Sports, your sports talk home for the Yanks, the Giants, the Rangers, and the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. I'm your host, Don. I want to thank you for listening. Today I'm going to be talking about the New York Rangers finishing out the season strong and winning the President's Trophy. They're going to face the Caps. And also, we're going to discuss a little bit about the Yankees, specifically Gleyber Torres and his ongoing issues, especially defensively, for the New York Yankees as we round into our first full month of baseball. So let's go ahead and start. So the New York Rangers finished the season out strong. After a little bit of a wobble just before the finish line where they lost to the Flyers, the Rangers finished with 114 points by shutting out the Ottawa Senators on Sunday, which is good for first overall in the NHL, and it was a huge relief in the Monday night, I should say. Rangers, with that finish, now have home ice advantage throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs. We determined last night that the Washington Capitals are going to be the Rangers' first-round opponent. This turns out to be a pretty good thing. With all the options that were available for the Rangers to play, I don't mind facing the Caps. I think that's a good first-round matchup for the Rangers. Now, with the Caps come a couple of unique things. Obviously, our coach, Laviolette, was the Washington Capitals coach prior to here, so that'll be a little bit interesting. We have the opposing goalie, who is Ryan Lindgren's older brother, who's playing very well for Washington, so that should be interesting. And we have Tom Wilson, you know, the big goon on Washington. I shouldn't say goon. He's a decent player, but the infamous Tom Wilson, who, you know, flattened Panarin a couple years ago and initiated all the changes in the Rangers organization. I would not be surprised at all to see at least one, you know, Tom Wilson Remke fight, if not more than one. But we have our own sort of person on our team who will stand up for us, and we'll see if Wilson takes any liberties this year in the playoffs. It should be quite interesting. As far as the Rangers and their strong finish, critically, Igor Shesterkin finished the season very, very strong. And of all the things you could talk about with the Rangers, and there's a lot, the most important thing going into the playoffs is how is our goalie playing? Because I don't care how the rest of the team is playing. If your goalie is leaking goals, you're going to lose in the playoffs. And right now, that is not the case. Igor has finished extremely sharp to the season after a really, really poor first half of the year this year. So it's really good to see Igor peaking at the right time, and that certainly bodes well for the playoffs, and we'll have to see how that goes. To speak to that actually a little bit, I looked this up before. Where is it? Oh, here it is. Igor, before the All-Star break, well, first of all, overall this year, he had a really strong year. If you look at it in totality, he finished 37-13-8, and he had a goals against of 2.48 and a save percentage of 916. So that's a good year. You know, for him, it's an average year probably, but you know, it's a good year. But look at it this way: before the All-Star break, Igor had a 2.86 goals against average and a save percentage under 900, 899 before the All-Star break. 286 goals against, 899. And since the All-Star break, which was February 3rd, he has a slash line of 17-5-1 and a goals against of 220 and a save percentage of 929. So 929 save percentage versus 899 and a 2.2 goals against as opposed to 2.86. Almost half a goal a game better. He's looked sharper. He hasn't given up many leaky goals at all. He looks much more like the Igor Shesterkin that we've all known and loved, who won a Vezina Trophy 2 years ago. And that, I cannot tell you how critical that is for a hockey team going into the NHL playoffs, to have your goalie on the top of his game. It matters more than anything else anyone will ever tell you. The fact that we're playing Washington, I mentioned before, is a favorable matchup for the Rangers. There was a lot of choices. Amazing how many teams still had the opportunity to play the Rangers going into even 2 days ago. Before the Rangers played, there were five or six possible opponents for the Rangers with one game left, which seemed just like insanity, right? Before the Rangers played their last game, they had a chance even to play Tampa. And then when they won, of course, now we didn't. But even after we won, there were still four possible matchups. It could have been Detroit, it could have been Washington, it could have been Philly, or it could have been Pittsburgh. And I think out of all four of those, I probably would have picked Washington, believe it or not. Number one, they're not playing particularly well down the stretch, which is, you know, in my mind, it's important. I don't know that history has actually reflected that teams that play well going into the playoffs do well in the beginning of the playoffs, or the opposite. So in my mind, though, I'd rather play a team that is floundering than a team that is streaking into the playoffs. And Pittsburgh, for one, was streaking into the playoffs. They only lost one regulation game of their last 10 heading down the stretch, and they were 1 point behind before Washington won their last game of the year. So I didn't really, of the teams possible, I didn't really want to see Pittsburgh, although I think we could have beaten any of those. Absolutely, I didn't want to play Tampa. Losing that last game of the year could have put us in some jeopardy of actually facing Tampa. As it turned out, it probably wasn't going to happen anyway, but that would be the worst possible. Could you imagine with the Rangers, the season they had this year, having to face Tampa and all that star power and all their history in the first round of the playoffs? That would be probably the worst present for having the best record in the NHL one could think of, or the Eastern Conference. In any case, the Rangers avoided all of that by finishing with 114 points. Artemi Panarin had a tremendous year. That whole line has been excellent from the beginning of the year right through the finish line. Trocheck and Lafreniere and Panarin all had career years. All three of them had the best year of their lives, and that's a big thing. What is not great is the Mika, Kreider, now Roslovic line, who has to produce more. They did okay the last two games of the year. Yay for them. They have to produce to the playoffs. Roslovic, as I predicted and ranted on after the trade deadline, is really nothing for the Rangers. He scored a goal and a big one finally in the last game of the season. It was the first one of the game against Ottawa. But he has basically been missing in action on ice with the Rangers. He is a big nothing on the right wing for Mika and Kreider. Again, the Rangers could have had Frank Vetrano for a little bit more. God forbid you give up, you know, a draft pick somewhere. Who I think would have been a much, much better fit and a much better help in the playoffs than Roslovic will be. Well, time will tell. You know, maybe Roslovic will be a playoff star, and I'll eat my words. That would be great. I'd be so happy to eat my words if that's the case, because that means that they're doing well and Roslovic's doing well. But I don't see it. Wennberg has been a average third line center. I don't have anything good or bad to say about him. He's kind of filled the role. He's been in there, and I don't know. He doesn't really contribute much, if anything, offensively, but he does an adequate job as a third-line center. He doesn't win many faceoffs. He's fairly responsible defensively. He's okay in board battles, which I think the Rangers need to continue to work hard, and anyone that's pretty good one-on-one, you know, with the puck is something that someone that the Rangers can value when it comes to the playoffs. So of the trade deadline picks, Ruedel, I think, ended up being a good one for almost nothing, getting that what I think is a very good defensive defenseman. Roslovic, I think, turned out really, like I said, not a great pick at all. And then Wennberg, we'll see. He's okay. And we're going to have to see how the Rangers do. I like the matchup against Washington. Time will tell. I mean, of course, when you have Ovechkin on the other side of you, you know, it's always interesting. And it's always, you know, he's like the ageless wonder, Ovechkin. So this is who we're going to see in the first round. So they'll start this next weekend coming up, perhaps on Saturday or Sunday. I think Sunday might be the first game. The NHL hasn't talked about it yet. Let's go Rangers, baby. All right, let's move on and talk about the Yankees. So the Yankees have gotten off to a pretty hot start and have now cooled off significantly. The Yanks were 12-3, tops in the majors, and now they've lost three games in a row, and they're sitting at 12-6, barely, but still, in first place in the American League East. They are now only a half game ahead of Baltimore, who was 11-6. For some reason, the experts picked Baltimore to be much worse than they were last year. I do not see it. They're a team of young players who are only going to get more experience and get better. We'll see. But the bottom line is the Yankees, after a great start, some holes are starting to show. As we know, we were doing well without Gerrit Cole, who's out till at least June, without DJ LeMahieu, who knows when he's coming back. Supposedly it's going to be very soon. And some other injuries. Lewis goes out for the year, et cetera, et cetera. Bottom line is the Yanks were doing well, and now the wheels are coming off a little bit here. We'll see. It's early in the season. It's April. A lot of these short losing streaks don't matter too much, but there are certainly signs of issues in a few of the most recent games. Most recently, a lot of strikeouts in the Tuesday night game against the Blue Jays up in Toronto. A lot of strikeouts, which we haven't had as much this year. And a big, big, big part in my mind, and if you guys listen to this podcast, you know I've repeated this over and over, huge defensive liability, and his name is Gleyber Torres. And year after year after year, I talk about this, and it's like I'm talking into the wind and no one's hearing. I don't understand. And we have seen his poor defensive play every single year that he plays defense. And I don't understand how other people don't make more of a big deal of it. And if you watch the last couple games, he has directly lost us several games. He's had many other errors this year, or what should be errors, and last year and years before. And either A, they're not counted as errors because of just bizarre scoring and other weirdness in baseball, or it may not have directly led to a loss or gotten lost in the sauce, sort of, you know, Yanks did this wrong. And, you know, maybe Torres' error was the fourth thing on people's minds. Look how much, you know, Stanton struck out or this or that. And you don't think about it. You don't remember it. But it's a big deal. Gleyber Torres is costing the Yankees baseball games left and right now with his defense, because he is the absolute worst defensive second baseman in Major League Baseball, and has been for years now. He was the worst shortstop when they tried to play him there a couple years ago by a mile and a half. And he is absolutely the worst defensive second baseman in baseball for a lot of reasons. And it's not just one bad thing he does. He certainly cannot throw properly when he's from a set position. He does this whole running sidearm thing. But when he's from a set position, you know, he has the yips. He basically, you know, yanks the ball and throws it all over the place, right? So I've talked about that ad nauseum on past podcasts. He just cannot throw accurately from a standing position. He occasionally makes some good plays, and he tries to be smooth out there all the time. But the net result of all his play is awful and just really, really dangerous for the Yankees, and it's going to cost them, and now it has in a couple games in a row. If you watch the most recent games, he blew a throw to home late in extra innings against the Indians the other day, where a ball was hit to him with the infield in and a runner on third in extra innings, a hard ball. And he missed it, right? It hit his glove and he dropped it. One problem. Second problem, he went to pick it up, he dropped it again. Third problem, when after all that, he wasn't going to get the runner at home, he picked it up and still threw it home. So nobody got out and a runner got on first. It cost them an out. That tied the game, and then they lost the game. It's because instead of having two outs, they only had one out, and the next one was a sacrifice fly that lost the Yanks the game. Directly lost that game for them. And he's lost two other games for the Yankees this year. But again, because of Major League Baseball's ridiculous scoring, you know, they call things fielder's choice or whatever they're going to call it. They don't give him an error on things that should absolutely – you can't assume the double play. You throw it to second. He whiffs it over the, you know, over Rizzo's head at first. They don't get a double play, but he would have been out by 10 feet. And then the next guy singles and you get a run. And it's not an error, but it's a fucking error. I don't know what you're going to say. It's an error, right? You can't assume the double play, which is just a ridiculous baseball rule. Of course you can. If you throw it accurately and he's out, he's out. If you throw it inaccurately and he's safe, it should be a fucking error. I don't know what to say. It's just the stupidest rule. Bottom line is, Gleyber Torres has more bad plays this year than even his errors will reflect, by a large margin, because there were three or four other critical plays that he did not get scored an error on, that he misplayed, misthrew, bobbled, that did not go in against his defensive play as an error that should have been, but that cost the Yankees the game. Against the Blue Jays, in a critical spot when somebody was stealing, it was first and third, and the runner on first was trying to steal second. Perfect throw to second on the steal attempt. Gleyber just whiffed. He just missed the ball. Well, didn't bounce, nothing. Just off his glove when he went to tag him. Runner, the ball goes halfway into center field. The runner from third scores in a critical spot. Just basic, basic things that Gleyber Torres cannot do correctly. In a later spot, again, in a critical spot, there's a runner on second. There's a ground ball sort of up the middle, but an easy play for Torres, who's shaded that way. He picks it up, and he throws to third. And the runner ends up being safe after a replay review. And now you have first and third with nobody out instead of two outs. I'm sorry, with one out instead of a runner on, you know, third only with two outs. And again, it cost the Yankees with another sacrifice fly to score a big run in that game. If he just picked the ball, if he just went to first like a normal human would, he, you know, would have got the out. But he didn't do that. Again, it's not recorded as an error. It's recorded as a fielder's choice. But it's another mistake. This time a mental one, and he has 1,000 of them. Yankees should have gotten out. They didn't get an out. Someone has to get an error. I'm sorry, guys. That's just how baseball should be. The scoring is just a disaster at this point, as is Gleyber Torres' defense. Gleyber cannot throw the ball, and he continues to torpedo the Yankees. We talked about not giving him as many errors as he should have, but if you are watching him, and you watch him play second base, you know what I'm talking about. He does not pass the eye test. I don't know what the solution is. In 2 months, we're going to have two different, vastly superior defensive second basemen on the team returning. DJ, who's going to return pretty soon, maybe as soon as next week, and Oswald Peraza, who's going to be back in a month or so. And both are about 10 times better defensively at second base than Gleyber Torres is. So what is Boone going to do? Raise your hand if you know the answer to this, guys. What is Aaron Boone going to do? Here's your answer, guys. Absolutely fucking nothing. He will not do anything. I guarantee you Gleyber Torres is going to sit there at second base and cost the Yankees game after game after game because Aaron Boone. That's why. Our best team on the field is not with Gleyber Torres at this point. I'm sorry, it's just not. Now, his best part last year was his hitting. The best part of Gleyber Torres was he hit really well last year, right? I mean, you know, he hit, what, almost 270, 265, 270. He hit well. I mean, other than Judge, he was our best hitter last year, which really is scary, by the way. But he's not a consistent hitter every year. He's up and down. And as you can see, this year he's gotten off to a slow start. We'll see how he does as the year goes on. I'm not ready to write off his hitting yet. But the point is that I'm interested to see what Aaron Boone's reason will be for keeping Gleyber Torres in the lineup, given that he has absolutely no attributes at this point that contribute to Yankee success. He's not hitting at all, which was the one thing he could do. He's a disaster at second base defensively, costing us games, game after game after game, right? This is a walk year for him, and he's not even hitting. Like if he's not motivated to play better everywhere this year, when the hell is he? So you take all that, you put it in a pot, you stir it, and you think, okay, what is Boone going to do when DJ returns? Absolutely fucking nothing. He's going to probably sit Oswaldo Cabrera, who's absolutely playing very well, believe it or not. And I'm not a Cabrera fan, but I got to give it to him this year. He has really played well all over the field. He's played pretty well defensively. He's played really well offensively. He's hitting the ball, even in spots he's not getting hits. You know, he's hitting sacrifice flies with a runner on third. You know, he hasn't been perfect, but he is night and day better than Gleyber everywhere, defensively and offensively. What will happen when DJ comes back next week? Everyone knows. Cabrera is going to go to the bench. DJ is going to play third. And Gleyber Torres is going to sit there and play second base and continue to cost us games. And Aaron Boone is a terrible, awful, terrible manager. And I say this every single year, and it continues. And I guarantee you, you see if I'm wrong. When DJ comes back, see if Gleyber Torres comes out of the lineup. And I don't mean for like one night or whatever to give him rest. I mean ongoing, right? Until something else is figured out. No, it won't happen, right? The two best infielders, second and third, right now, happen to be DJ and Oswaldo. And that will not be who plays. Because for whatever reason, Boone will make up some horseshit excuse about Torres and put him in the game. It drives me nuts. It's costing the Yankees. It has cost the Yankees for years. And I'm fucking tired of Gleyber Torres. That's all I got to say. He's lazy as shit. He doesn't run hard. He doesn't bend over as much. He's casual. He has mental error after mental error. Doesn't catch the ball. Throws to the wrong base. I don't know what to say. I mean, he's not 21 years old anymore, guys. He's 27. I've had it with him. The only, I guess, solace I have is that he's a free agent at the end of this year, and there's a fair chance we will not re-sign him. God help us if we re-sign him. In any case, I've had it with Gleyber Torres. Volpe, by the way, who's been pretty friggin' great this year, had a bad night on Tuesday. Actually struck out four times. It was nuts. The starting pitcher for Toronto was brilliant. Everybody was striking out, but I don't like that Volpe struck out, because that's the one thing he hasn't been doing, and he had four strikeouts on Tuesday night, which, back to last year. That's what he used to do last year, but he's been just almost brilliant so far, other than Tuesday night, which he regressed. But Volpe's been the brightest of bright spots for the Yanks, along with Soto. So he's been really – having him and Soto 1-2 in the lineup is brilliant, and I think that's how we need to continue to go. Verdugo's starting to come on and hit the ball, which is spectacular. And finally, Trevino is starting to hit the ball. And we have a catcher that's not, making outs every time they get up, whether it be him or Wells. So there's a fair amount of positives. There's some negatives. The biggest of big negatives is Gleyber Torres and his fucking defense, and I've had it. So – Yanks are still in first, half game ahead of Baltimore, and we'll see as the season goes on what changes. It's a long season. Hopefully the Yanks make the appropriate changes, and we'll see how we do. And that's really all I have for you today, guys. Thanks for listening to Jersey Guy Sports. Please subscribe to the podcast. Tell your friends all about it. I'll be back soon with some more sports talk. Thanks, and have a good day.